Today on Real Life Radio.
If you're a skeptic this morning, you need to be asking yourself this question. How did this ancient symbol make it into my Bible? I got a better question for you. How did this symbol that's in your Bible and an ancient Babylonianism make it onto the coin of Greece?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, continues in his series called The Book of Revelation. We now come to chapters 17 and 18, where the past and the future come together. You see, Babylon, a place described in the book of Genesis, is where man's first attempt to overthrow God actually began, and that attempt increases dramatically during the Great Tribulation. You see, cultic beliefs and pagan practices can be traced back to ancient Babylon. Man-made religious systems really are nothing new. Jesus, in one of his most graphic teachings, warned us that there will be imposters of the truth that will envelop the world, and their teachings will be accepted as a future global religion. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that identifying the road to Babylon is to understand that it's a system having global powers, grand prosperity, and unlimited wealth. But it's a system that's unholy to God and will be destroyed as a result. And now in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
See the woman? Draped in robes. She's got glory around her head. Who's right there? That's who the Romans called who? Cupid. What's his name in Babylonianism? Tammuz. Who's sitting on here? Semiramis. She rides the beast. She is Babylonianism. Having laid that, let's get into it. Do you see? I know we're trying to crunch so much into a few moments. What's with the beast? What's with the sea? What's with the baby? What's with her mission? How do you get her? Listen, if you're a skeptic this morning, you need to be asking yourself this question. How did this ancient symbol make it into my Bible? I got a better question for you. How did this symbol that's in your Bible and an ancient Babylonianism make it onto the coin of Greece? Point number one. Identifying the worship of Babylon, it's a system having global powers. Will you jot it down? We will go quick now. You got it all down now. We can just breeze through this. It's a system having global powers. She rides upon the seas of the world. And a woman, verse 18, the woman whom you saw is that great city. Present tense in the Greek. It means this, John, you're alive right now. I'm talking to you about that great city. You need to ask yourself the question, who's the great city that reigns over the kings of the earth during the day of John? There's only one answer. It's Rome. There is no other answer. If you answer differently and you go submit this to a university or college quiz, you're going to fail. It is Rome. What power and where was the seat of power during Don? Don, did you know that? During John's time. The Greek construction of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 17, verse 18 makes it absolutely clear. It is Rome. You can't get around it. The Babylonian worship system had already made it around the world, and it was in Rome. That great city was Rome. It was the religious and political power of the world during John's day. It was Rome. Identifying her identity, it is clear. It is clear, no mistake about it, it is Rome. My friend, I hate to say this, it sounds so dogmatic and so stubborn, but my friend, you cannot come up with any other city that John was living in the Greek tense present of his time, when God speaks to him while he's in prison, book of Revelation, and says, it is that great city. John knew it. John doesn't say, what great city are you talking about? That's not what he's in amazement about. He's in amazement about what this woman does. Number two, her location. Verse 9, her location. It's a system of global powers, not only by her identity being clear, her location is clear, for it says, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains, verse 9. Look at verse 9, on which the woman sits. This woman sits on seven mountains or seven hills. Get out your pen. Some of you know this. Some of you love history, and some of you who just care know these names. And by the way, I don't expect too many of us to know this, but these names I'm going to mention to you, they've made it out from the city that we're mentioning, from the city, they've made it out to various locations of the world. You'll know in a moment. Hill number one, Aventine. The seven hills of Rome. If we know that the city is Rome, we do, John makes it clear, it's a city that sits upon seven hills or seven mountains, seven places. This city sits. Aventine is one of them. Caelene. Capitoline. Anybody ring a bell? What did the Romans rename Jerusalem? Capitolina. Because they wanted to put Babylonianism in power in Israel, not the worship of Yahweh God. Next hill. Palatine, ring a bell. The land of what? They removed Israel from the map way back then. And when the Roman Empire took Israel, they renamed Jerusalem Capitolina, and they renamed the area Palestine, in honor of the ancient Philistines. Eshkelein is another hill. Quirinal. And Viminal, the seven hills of Rome. Her location is clear. The danger, my friend, is when the church mated, so to speak, with the Babylonian powers of the Roman Empire. Church, remember, everybody listening, the Roman Empire was, in some respects, was completely removed from Christianity. The Roman Empire came in, took over the Middle East, renamed everything in the name of Babylonian worship. That's why it dovetails in architecture and art and all that stuff. And when the church was born under the tyranny of Rome, the attempt of the Roman Empire and Babylonianism was to take what is now being called the way, Christianity, the worship of Christ, and assimilate it in and confuse it, making it, listen, part of the Babylonian Empire. Does anybody know who did that perfectly? He was an emperor. Pontifex Maximus, who? Pontifex Maximus Constantine. Constantine, in about 300 or 315-ish AD, mated the church. He declared amnesty for Christians, no more persecution. Let them come into the Babylonian system and we'll give you amnesty from attack. And you just become one of us. And not all, but much of the church did that. Are you hearing me? And the headquarters of the church meandered and wandered to Rome. Remember that. I mean to offend no one. Just do your homework, please. Third thing under this, it's a system having global powers. Look at her attire. Her attire, what she wears is clear. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Those are key colors of Babylonian worship. Did you hear me? Go look it up. Key colors of Babylonian worship, purple and scarlet. Adorned with gold, precious stones, and pearls. Again, necessary. Semiramis saw to it that these things were used. And in her cup, a golden cup, or in her hand, a golden cup, full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Number four, her influence is clear. Verse 15, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits. Remember the coin? Remember the stamp? The waters are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues throughout your Bible in Old and New Testament. That's all nations of the world, the globe. a global ecumenical coalition. She will be used to bring together all worship systems of every tongue, of every nation, of everywhere. Number two, this is point number two. That was our fourth consideration under point one. Point number two, identifying the worship of Babylon. It's a system having a glorious position. It's a system having a glorious position because, listen, she will be granted swift access to the world. Swift access to the world. Verse 3. So he, John, carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, John says. The Holy Spirit showed me something. And this is now during the Great Tribulation period. And he said, look, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Look at this image, this painting. They understood it back then. This is an old painting. You say, yeah, but that only goes back to the 1800s. Yeah, I know. But look, there is a woman. She is adorned in scarlet robes, a great scarlet beast having seven heads. Note the crosses in the background. Note this incredible cup. Do you see this, ladies and gentlemen? Please do not, okay, officially, hello, do not believe what I'm about to say right now. Did you hear me? See this cup? Take the geometry of this cup. Jot it, make a pencil drawing of it, whatever it takes. Research that image in ancient Babylonian worship. It will take you back over 4,000 years ago, the very shape of that cup. You say, what's the point? This painting's hanging in a museum. It's announcing the last day's events. What's amazing about this is these are religious leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, understand something. Note there's two rivers here. Tigris, Euphrates, River Valley, speaking of origin. It's spanning the rivers. Do you see this? The beast. The church. The cup. She's a queen, draped in scarlet, with a great crown upon her head. They are bowing down, paying homage to her. Who is? The apostate, lost, tribulation church age. This is not a true church. This is the church that will engulf the world in the last days. This is not the church that you belong to. This will be the church of the Antichrist system. They're bowing down to a seven-headed monster with a woman sitting on it, and she's carrying a golden cup. It's absolutely amazing. They understood it then. The woman was sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names, blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. Second consideration about her glorious position, she will dominate the world's religions. When it says in verse 3, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy. Notice that she's sitting. She's comfortable. She's fine. Notice this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a great opportunity for you. It's very difficult. You probably will never visit this site of the Minoan civilization in ancient Corinth or Greece today. This is literally the paint. This temple has been unearthed in the Minoan, look them up later, the Minoan civilization, 2,500 BC. The paint has been unearthed in this area of Greece. This is a massive statue, or should say relief, carved out of the rock, of Zeus with the great horns. Note the colors. Next slide, if there is. I think there's several slides here. Look at this temple. This was all underground. This is in Greece. And this is, by the way, has recently been unearthed. These temples were dedicated to the temple or the worship of Zeus, which was, in this time, located in ancient... Are you with me? I'm sorry. Are you with me? This was a satellite worship center from its mother base. Its mother base was in Babylon. From here, watch, allow this to be Babylon over here. From here, her Semiramis' priest spread to Greece, built this temple, spread to the other parts of the world, up into Turkey, and built the temple of Zeus that you saw a moment ago from the Museum of Pergamum. Are you with me? Next slide, if there is one. I forget how many we've got. Another area of this tremendous, by the way, this dirt, these rocks, you're going back millennia. Next one, if there is one. Some more of the temple worship. I think that might be it. No, yes. Tremendous. Amazing. That is the Minoan civilization. Find out who they worshiped, and you'll link it all the way back to Semiramis and Tammuz, for they worshiped Zeus and many other of those gods. Identifying this system and its global position, we come to our third point, and we'll go quickly here. It's a system having grand prosperity. Grand prosperity. Now, note verse 4, unlimited wealth. Just jot that down. Unlimited wealth. She has always had unlimited wealth. The Babylonian system has always had unlimited wealth. My friend, today, what represents Babylonian worship, and many people don't know it today, is a system that says you can get to heaven by certain rites and rituals, anything but faith alone. And you must have the Nicolaitan approval to enter into that place of heaven. You must confess, listen, as it was in Babylonianism 5,000 years ago, you must confess to her priest and her priest only, or else you're not going to make it. The Babylonian system had ultimate say based upon the intercession of Semiramis if you entered heaven or not. For the Bible says in Jeremiah 44, she is the queen of church. Have I killed you with facts? You're so quiet. Verse 4 goes on, unlimited wealth. Listen, so watch for a dominating Europe. If all this is true, watch for a dominating European currency to arrive. We already know that from Revelation 13. It's going to be an economic restructuring of Europe. I would just want to ask you this, any skeptic in here? Just play with me for a moment. If you believe the Bible, that John was knowledgeable about the city that had the seven hills and was in power during John's day, if you want to say it's Rome, good, you agree with the Bible. The most powerful, the largest church on the planet is situated where? It's in Rome. Did you know that it is literally excluded from the governments of the world and its laws? Did you know that? Ladies and gentlemen, research this. The Vatican City issues its own passports. Nations of the world have to have ambassadors, not to Italy, they have to have ambassadors to Italy and another ambassador to Rome, to Vatican City. Did you know that? Did you know that the Pope and the Cardinals and the Nicolaitan, they are exempt from governments' laws worldwide? The Catholic scandal of the sex abuse. I guarantee you, if that would have happened in the Baptist church, listen, again, I'm not pointing out, picking on anybody. Listen, you can be a Catholic right now and love Jesus with all your heart. Okay, just read your Bible, my friend. You can be going to Mass, but you know what? Just read your Bible. I'm fully confident. If you just read your Bible, you don't have to come back to this church again. You probably won't. I wish you would. I pray you would. Just read your Bible, my friend. In fact, you know what? I'll say it again. You can go to Mass over here or anywhere and then come to Bible, okay? Go to Mass and then come to church and learn. But I know this, that if you study the Bible, you'll find out that God loves you, that you don't have to earn your way into heaven, that Jesus died on the cross to forgive you of all of your sins. And the Bible says, pray to Him directly. Go directly to Him. The thief on the cross who was never baptized, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. My friend, who did he confess to? He was a very sinful man. He just called upon the name of the Lord and that man was saved. My friend, if there's any system that stands in the way of you experiencing the Lord to the fullest, that system's wrong, including this church that I'm standing in. If we somehow muddy up the water between you and your Lord, then I've erred. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Very fast. Its wealth will elevate its status in the world. Fourthly, identifying this worship system, it's a system having gross passions. How so? Verse 4 tells us that she's a spiritual harlot. Hey, look, she doesn't hook up with people. She hooks up with nations and kings and powers to infiltrate. She's unholy to God. For it says in verse 2, whom the kings of the earth, the political leaders and representatives, whoever the political leaders and representatives are, they see it a point to go to her and gain her approval. Church, do you read that in your Bible? Do you see it? Quickly. She is indulgent. She has abominations written on her forehead, the Bible tells us. Verse 5. And then we'll end with this. Fifthly, it's a system having given persecutions. Revelation 17. She has historically martyred Christians. Verse 6. I ask you to research this. She will repeat her historic actions. Verse 6 again tells us. Third, her actions are shocking to John. He cannot believe what she does. And my friend, from the 1500s to the 1800s, there has been more people killed in the name of Jesus Christ by this Church of Rome throughout all known history, more than any entity, labeling those such as and targeting those such as Luther, Martin Luther, Wycliffe, Tyndale, great men who said, people need to read the Bible. They were attacked and many of them killed because they did not bow to the Babylonian system. My friend, where are you in all of this? I know that I run the risk by giving this data out. I could have just preached it real soft and real easy. But if one person who last week came out of this sanctuary into the foyer weeping, a dear sister, and said, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Will God forgive me? I didn't know. I didn't know. What do you think? Yes. Another woman came out and said to me, I have bowed all my life. I have always believed Jesus was too busy for me, that I could gain his acceptance by going through his mother. And I didn't know the Bible told me to go to Jesus direct, that there's one go-between between man and God. My friend, go direct to him. The hour is late. You've been extremely patient. We will end now. Father, in Jesus' name, bless the going forth of your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey guys, Pastor Jack here, and I am so excited to tell you about a book that, frankly, honestly, I have now gone through twice in my private reading. So please mark it down. It's 100 Bible Verses That Made America. It's authored by Robert Morgan, and it's an incredible book. It covers the defining moments that shaped America and its founding through Scripture. And what's great about this book is that it not only, of course, includes 100 Bible verses, but it's not like the guy made them up. They apply to the moment. And in fact, in some of the situations, it's coming right out of the founding fathers' mouth themselves. Get your copy, please. 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan, and you will not be disappointed.
That's 100 Bible Verses That Made America by Robert Morgan. Available for your gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Life Radio.